We're working our way through Hebrews, a challenging book. And if this encourages you at all, because we're in a challenging section about Melchizedek, remember, this is the book where just a couple chapters ago, the author of Hebrews was talking about things that are meat and not milk. And Melchizedek is certainly one of those areas that it's a little more difficult to understand. And we're going to be looking at it yet again today. Last week, we had a message from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, called Christ and Melchizedek. And I was really excited about the message. I've been thinking about Melchizedek every day, going to bed thinking about Melchizedek, waking up thinking about Melchizedek. Two things happened this week that kind of disappointed me a little bit. One, a young couple here from Trinity showed me their first ultrasound picture of the new baby. And I was excited. I was like, well, I'm so happy for you guys. If it's a boy, are you going to call it Melchizedek? They said no. And like, they didn't even pray about it, I don't think. They were just like, no. And I thought, okay. So that was a little bit discouraging. I'm not looking anywhere special. I just look straight back so I don't look at them. Secondly, maybe slightly more serious, I was talking to a brother, and he said, Greg, you know, Melchizedek, a lot to think about. I said, yeah, but I said, I'll tell you what, you tell me, what was the main point of the message Sunday? And he said, well, I guess the main point is Christ is better than Melchizedek. And that discouraged me. That actually discouraged me all week long. That's not his bad, that's my bad. That made me think, I have to do a better job. I have to communicate better. Because if you think the key is Christ is better than Melchizedek, I did not do a good job. You say, what's going on in Hebrews? Okay, let's just review a little bit what's happening here. There are Christians who used to be Jewish, now they believe in Christ. And Jewish people are saying, come on back to Judaism. Like, what do you have? You don't have these great Levitical priests offering sacrifices every day and every night. The temple's awesome. You don't have a big temple. Come on back. And Hebrews is a letter written to Christians telling them, don't go back because Christ is better. So, when a person says to me, and I tried to think of a way to put this on the slide, that what Hebrews 7 is about, it's about Jesus versus Melchizedek. I would say, no, that's not at all what it's about. Again, I have to do a better job. Hebrews 7 is all about Jesus. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's not Jesus versus Melchizedek. Think of these guys, they're on the same team. I don't mean that irreverently. It's Jesus, who's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, versus the Old Testament priest. This is what Hebrews 7 is about. Don't go back to Judaism. You say, who are those Old Testament priests? They're all descendants of Abraham. That's why we're talking about Abraham. And the priests have to come through the tribe of Levi, so sometimes we're going to use the word Levitical priest. And I know that could sound like a mouthful to some of you. And then we might even at times, and it's going to come up in the text, refer to the Aaronic priesthood. Again, don't think, man, I don't even know what that means. The Old Testament priest, you had to come through Aaron, who was of the tribe of Levi, they're all descendants of Abraham. Rather than talking about Levitical priests, Aaronic priests, I'm going to try to just say Old Testament priests. So when you read your Old Testament about guys making animal sacrifices, those guys can't hold a candle to Jesus. You want to know why? Because Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I want you to lock in on this slide. And I'm actually going to read again Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. And we're going to review this passage just a little bit because I am so concerned that we get this right. And then our text today, the actual sermon for today, will begin at verse 11. And I will go a little more quickly through that because I want to have the time to do this. Let's read. I'm going to read from Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. And you keep thinking of this slide. Jesus, who's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, is better than the Old Testament priest. I'm reading from an ESV this morning. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he's also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He's without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man, Melchizedek, was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. That's a lot. You say, what is that? Remember, it's not milk, it's meat. And if somebody just came to know Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be hanging out in Hebrews 7 with them. But if you've been following Jesus for a while and you're thankful for what he has done, then you want to have a heart that says, Lord, help me to get this. I want to be excited about Melchizedek and how he relates to Jesus. So Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Thus, Jesus is better than the Old Testament priest. What were some of the things that we've just read in this passage? Let me point out a few of them. Fact: Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Does that matter? Yes. Why? Because here's what we conclude: Melchizedek is superior to Abraham. You say, okay, why does that matter? What's the application? Here's the key. Jesus is superior to the Old Testament priest because Jesus is a priest after Melchizedek. That's the logic. That's why it matters. If Melchizedek is superior to Abraham, he is, then Jesus is superior to all of those priests because Jesus is a priest after Melchizedek. That's just one point. Let's hit another one. It's kind of a sub-point. Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. You say, well, how? Levi wasn't born yet. Remember, the text says he was in the loins of Abraham. He was one of Abraham's to come offspring. You say, okay, so what do we conclude? Melchizedek is superior to the Levitical priests. You say, why does that matter? Here's the application. Jesus is superior to the Old Testament priests, because Jesus is a priest after Melchizedek. The fact that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham demonstrates Melchizedek better than all of those priests. And guess what? Jesus is a priest after Melchizedek. How about another one? Melchizedek blessed Abraham. You say, why is that a big deal? Because the conclusion is simple. Melchizedek is superior to Abraham. Right? Jesus blesses the kids. The kids don't bless Jesus. The greater blesses the lesser. That's what the text says. You say, how does that apply to what we're studying? Jesus is superior to the Old Testament priests. If Melchizedek trumps Abraham and Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, then Jesus trumps the Old Testament priests. That's what's going on in this passage. And if that makes sense, then maybe these next two will make sense as well. Melchizedek, what does his name mean? King of Righteousness. And he's also King of Salem, King of Peace. You say, why does that matter? Because Melchizedek's a picture of Jesus. Jesus is King of Righteousness. Jesus is King of Peace. There's no peace unless you put your faith in Jesus and are declared righteous. What's the application? Jesus is superior to Old Testament priests because Jesus is a priest after Melchizedek. And we have one more. And this one might kind of grab some people. At our men's meeting Saturday, someone brought this up to me. Melchizedek has no recorded genealogy. No mother, no father. Doesn't mean he didn't have parents. We are assuming Melchizedek is an actual king. And yes, there are some people, and this is certainly within the realm of possibility, who would argue that Melchizedek actually was Jesus. And I don't believe that's accurate. I think he's a picture of Jesus. Representation does not mean equality. They're not the same. But we have a person who's a very special person. No recorded genealogy of mom or dad. You say, why does that matter? Because we know thus that Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus Christ. You say, why is that important? Because it's showing us again that Jesus is superior to the Old Testament priest. The second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, no beginning, no end. He's a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's no mention of Melchizedek ever dying. Doesn't mean he didn't die. It's a picture. Put all of this together. This is the slide I would love for you to understand. And I've wrestled with, how do I make it more clear? And this is not a bad on you. This is me wanting to communicate better. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's a big deal. And the reason it's a big deal is Jesus is better than any Old Testament priest. So I want you to think about this, guys. What if you were Jewish and your grandparents went to the temple and your parents went to the temple and your siblings are now going to the temple? Because for this to make sense, the temple had to still be up. And here are people saying, come on, look at all these sacrifices by these Levitical Aaronic priests. And you say you're a follower of Jesus. Like, what do you have? You don't even have a priest. And Hebrews is written to believers from Jewish backgrounds. And the message of Hebrews is, you have someone better than any descendant of Levi, that is a Levitical priest. You have a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is a priest who abides forever. That's Jesus Christ. That's what's going on. Now just think about this. So all of your family has worshipped in the temple for a very long time, before that the tabernacle. And once Jesus comes, would it be wrong to worship at the temple anymore? Yes. Yes. Once Jesus comes, then everything the temple pictured is here. We don't need the temple anymore. We don't want the temple anymore. We don't need Old Testament priests. And this passage we look at today is going to help us to understand that better. We continue in Hebrews. I'll try to keep it moving today. Part 2 of Christ and Melchizedek. And we'll be looking this morning at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 22. And we're going to be talking more about Melchizedek. Remember, Jesus, like Melchizedek, after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus, much better than any Jewish priest in the temple ever. Okay? So keeping that in mind, here we are in Hebrews chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. And I am going to go ahead and read this. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. So the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar, for it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Maybe we'll stop there. Look at your verse 11, guys. If perfection had been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? If I said to you, put verse 11 in your own words, how would you explain it? Maybe something like this. If the old way worked, we don't need a new way. Why do we have a new way? Why do we need Jesus? Because the old way didn't work. If perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, it wasn't. You can't find perfection. We could translate that word completion by going to the Old Testament temple and what they did through priests. You say, Greg, what are you taking that word perfection to mean? Let me show you. Go down to verse 19 real quick. For the law made nothing perfect. There it is again. What does that mean? Keep going. But on the other hand, the better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. I'm going to take verse 19 to be my definition of perfection. It's drawing near to God. You say, so what's the point? Here's my point. First point this morning, number one, Jesus is necessary. We need Jesus as our priest. Why? Well, what is the goal of a priest? We saw it by comparing verse 11 and verse 19. The goal is to draw near to God. Back to verse 11. If perfection had been attainable, meaning you have come to God. Let's pause. What is a priest? A priest is someone who helps us do something we can't do by ourselves. A priest is like a mediator. Here is God, and I can't get to God alone. Hey, priest, would you help me? That's the goal of a priest, to help us draw near to God. Now look at your verse 11 again. If perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, but it wasn't. Because if it was, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? We wouldn't have needed another priest. We wouldn't have needed Jesus. Guys, if we were hanging out at the temple before Jesus came and that priest could get us to God, we don't need Jesus. Because just kill animals and shed their blood and come near to God. But Hebrews says it didn't work. If perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, it obviously was not. What further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? But we needed one. See, that was the problem. The Old Testament priests couldn't do what we needed to do. Now, I hope this makes sense. I'm not giving them a hard time. And I'm certainly not saying God's plan failed. Please don't think God gave his people, the Jewish people, priests, but they messed up, so now we need another one. Let's do Jesus. Old Testament priests were never designed to forgive your sins. The shedding of blood, the sacrifice of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. And if a picture helps from last week, I'm back to it. Think about a typewriter. I'm not saying typewriters failed. They did what they could do. Today, on our laptops, on our computers, we do so many more things the typewriter simply couldn't do. We needed something done that a priest could never do. We needed a better priest. You say, who did we need? We needed a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we got one. You say, what's his name? His name's Jesus. That's verse 11 in verse 12. Now I'm going to read it again. Maybe this will make more sense. If perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, that's an Old Testament priest, for under it the people received the law, and priest and law goes hand in hand, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, that's Jesus, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? Remember, that's just another Old Testament priest. For when there is a change in priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. Again, priest and law go hand in hand. I'll just leave that there. So we needed something better because what was there simply didn't do what we needed done. There is no Old Testament priest who ever brought anyone to God. You don't want to think, please, you got to get this. People in the Old Testament did not get saved by sacrificing animals. And I know some of you have been taught things that are very close to that. That maybe salvation in the Old Testament was different than salvation in the New Testament. I would argue that is not accurate. Okay, we need Jesus. Because the Old Testament priests couldn't get the job done. They were not able. Priests today, Roman Catholic priests, Hindu priests, name your priest, they're still not able. But praise God, we have a new priest. You say, Greg, but if none of these Levitical priests could help us, then how could Jesus help us? Because Jesus was not a priest according to Levi. Jesus was not a priest according to Aaron. Jesus was a priest according to Melchizedek. Is it starting to make sense? We have a different kind of priest. We have a much better priest. And his name is Jesus. And he's awesome. And he's better than anything you could find in the Levitical priesthood. Is that making sense? I hope. I'm trying to think about simple illustrations as I go. I have a colleague who teaches with me. He's a great guy. And he helps me with IT stuff. He's just awesome. When I'm stuck on my computer, when I have trouble with my laptop, hardware or software, monitors, anything, he helps me even more than the IT guys. And we got a great IT department. That's not a slam on them. My colleague is just awesome. He helps me a lot. So when he's saying to me, I need to redo my deck, and I say, can I maybe help you a little bit? Because, you know, like me, I'm a little more handy than him, scary. And he's better with IT than I am. So I go to his house and I say, hey, your joist structure, everything's good. Let's just, you know, you got to tear up these deck boards, put new ones down, and then we need a better way to do a railing. Your railing's just not secure. And I explained to him, we'll get some 4x4 posts, cut them to length. We'll clamp them to the joist. We'll get some like 3-inch wood screws. We'll drive them in, and we're going to get a better railing going on. And I told him, I'm not going to do the work for you. I just don't have time, but I'm going to coach you a little bit and try to help you. So materials list, what to buy. He's excited. Next week, here's where I'm going. Next week, he says, Greg, man, I can't get this stuff to work. And I said, what do you mean? He said, like the screws don't go in. I said, what are you talking about? He said, could you just come over? I said, I'd love to come over. I go over his house. We're trying to drive 3-inch wood screws through joists into 4x4 posts. And he has this little battery-powered screwdriver that one of his kids gave him for Father's Day. And he says, Greg, this won't do. And I said, now this is making sense. Okay. I said, we need something better. He said, you mean like an 18-volt cordless screwdriver? I said, no, not a screwdriver at all. I said to him, you need an impact driver. And those of you that have worked on a deck know exactly what I'm talking about. I said, you're going to spend $100, you're going to get a medium quality impact driver, and it is going to change your world, okay? It is going to drive 3-inch screws into pressure-treated timber, and you're not going to break a sweat. You're not even going to have to push that hard. You're just going to pull the trigger. And he came back smiling ear to ear the next week. He's like, Greg, that thing is awesome. I should have bought one of those a long time ago. Okay? I am not trashing his little battery-powered screwdriver. It has a place, like removing maybe covers on your outlets. Okay? Maybe that's what that's for. But guys, when you're out doing the deck, you need an impact driver, okay? And I don't mean to be obviously irreverent to Jesus, but there's no comparison between those two tools. There's no comparison between a typewriter and a laptop, and there's no comparison between the Old Testament Levitical Aaronic priest and our great priest Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. That's why Hebrews keeps bringing this up. You, Jesus, are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So remember, this is being written to Jewish believers. You don't want to go back to the temple. You have something so much better. His name is Jesus. He's not only necessary, number one. Number two, Jesus is qualified. You say, why would you even bring that up? Well, let's just look at the text here and see what it says. In fact, I'm going to start again at verse 11. If perfection had been obtainable through the Levitical priesthood, it wasn't. What further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than the one named after the order of Aaron? That's Old Testament priest. For when there's a change in the priesthood, there's necessarily a change in the law as well. Okay, priest and law go hand in hand. For the one of whom things are spoken belong to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord Jesus was descended from Judah. And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Good point. No doubt the Jews who were trying to get these Christians to come back were saying, how can you say Jesus is your priest? He's not a Levite. He doesn't qualify. I mean, you know your Old Testament. You want to be a priest, you got to be a Levite. Jesus is from Judah. He doesn't qualify. Look at our second point this morning. Jesus is qualified. Verse 15. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest. How? Not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent. Jesus, correct, is not qualified based on physical descent because Jesus is not of the tribe of Levi. You say, well, what do you say about that? It's not a problem because we are not claiming Jesus is a Levitical priest. We're saying Jesus is qualified to be a priest in a completely different way. Notice what comes next in the text, verse 16. Not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is qualified by the power of an indestructible life. What's true of Levitical priest? True or false, Levitical priest had to retire. Anybody remember? Ward, you know. You're not allowed to answer. Ward knows all this. Okay. Anybody but Ward. True or false, Levitical priest had to retire. True. Anybody remember what age? Anybody remember? Ward, you can answer this one if you want. 50. He knows all this. 50. I'm too old. I'm over. Now, why did you have to retire at age 50? There's different ideas. I actually heard a good idea. Remember, back then, they didn't have glasses. And most of us would not be able to read without our glasses, at least me. And maybe that's because they didn't want a bunch of priests saying, I don't know what the Bible says. I can't read it anymore. Okay? Whatever the reason. If you're a Levitical priest, you hit 50, it's over. And then guess what? You die. And obviously you can't be a priest. But notice what this verse says. Who has become, verse 16, a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent. That's from Levi. Your dad's a priest. You're a priest. But by the power of an indestructible life. Guys, Jesus never retires. You say, Greg, he died. Yeah, like for 3 days, and he's right back. And when he comes back, what is true of him? He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he never stops being a priest. Again, Hebrews 5:6, you are a priest forever. What's Jesus doing right now? Hebrews is going to help us understand that later. Jesus is right now interceding for us. You mean like Jesus is actually doing something now? Yes. He's serving as a priest because he is a priest forever. He's not like one of those Levitical guys that hits 50 and it's over. But he is a priest who serves forever and ever. Jesus qualified based on what? Not his physical descent. Yeah, your dad's a Levite, you're a Levite, welcome to the priesthood. But Jesus, a priest, because he has an indestructible life, he lives forever. Jesus is qualified. Now, just to slide something in real quick, this is not really my thing, and I know some of you know more about this than I do, but some of you have experience with Mormonism, okay? And some of you, especially maybe out west, you've run into Mormon missionaries. And Mormon missionaries will claim, if you ask them, are you basically a priest? They would say yes. And a Mormon missionary will tell you, I am a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is a gross misuse of the Bible. There is only one priest in the Bible who's identified as being after the order of Melchizedek, and it's not you, it's Jesus. So when you see a couple guys riding their bikes, going around, doing their thing as missionaries, and they might say, you know, we're after the order of Melchizedek. I don't mean this in a snarky way. But if you get in an accident on your bicycle and die, what happens next? Because Jesus was back in 3 days, indestructible life. How about you? And they wouldn't be back. They're not qualified. They're speaking things that are not biblical. There is one who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is number one, necessary, verse 11 through 14, 2, qualified, 15 through 17, third, final point, here we go, number three. It's the whole theme of Hebrews. Jesus is better. Look at verse 18 and 19. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. You say, what do we see in this text? First of all, the weak and the useless was set aside. Strong words. So let's be cautious. That which was weak. You say, what what sense was the Old Testament teaching about the Levitical priesthood weak? Let's just keep it in context. It can't help you draw near to God. No priest can do that. In that sense, well, I got to be careful how I say this. In that sense, Old Testament priestly teaching is useless. As a vehicle of coming to God. If you say to me, Greg, I want my sin forgiven, I'm going to go find a Jewish priest who has an altar and is sacrificing animals, that's what I'm going to do. It's useless. Because it's weak, because it's useless. Thirdly, notice what it says in 19. It could make nothing perfect. Now, careful. Paul's going to tell us in Galatians, the law was a tutor. This is teaching us we needed something better. But as far as bringing you to God, can't do it. The weak, the useless, it was set aside. It made nothing perfect. But what does the text go on to say? The text says what? But on the other hand, second half of verse 19, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. You say, what is that better hope? It's coming to God through Jesus. It's having a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's coming to God in a way that actually draws you near. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Something that no Levitical priest could do. This is much better than what the Jews had. I don't know if this will help. I'm one of those people, Nance will tell you, if I'm making a big decision, I like to research it, okay? And Nancy will even tease me sometimes. I'm just like, I like to read articles. If I'm looking for a truck, vehicle, car, I like to do like analysis. I like to read articles, this truck compared to this truck. I actually did that recently with stain. In our former house, I would stain our deck every year. Like every year I would stain our deck, and the deck still looks bad. I mean, every year, and you know, I'm going to this consumer magazine, and they say they like this kind of stain. I'm using it every year. I don't really like it, but, you know, they say it's good. And then I find a new website, and it's not a consumer magazine. It's a guy, and he basically, that's all he does is stain decks, and he has a little company. He stains decks, and he says, I'm just going to tell you, we do research. This is what we do. We have found that this brand of deck stain is horrible. It's the one I've been using all these years. He says, we don't use it. We think it's horrible. We actually use this brand of deck stain. It's an oil-based stain. It's much better. We have much better results. And it's not available in every state because the EPA, in certain of the states, they have more stringent environmental rules, and they say you're not allowed to use it, which actually makes me like it more. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to give it a try. And that's what I'm doing, okay? This is what's going on, guys. Now, the problem with my illustration is whenever I read a comparison on the internet or something, is it really accurate? I don't know. But when I read something in the Bible, I know it's accurate. And what the Bible says, the Word of God, is that I don't even have to sweat this one. I know that we have what? Verse 19, a better hope. And because of Jesus, we can now come near to God. What is this hope? Chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's our hope. Jesus, our high priest. Conclusion, verse 20 through 22. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, but this one, Jesus, was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. You say, what's our conclusion? Number one, we have God's oath. God has promised us that Jesus is a better high priest than any priest in the Old Testament. Jesus is an eternal high priest. God not only told us that, he gave us an oath. It's not like he had to. It's not like we need it. But we have it. Number two, we not only have God's oath, we have Jesus serving not so much a guarantee, that is one translation of 22, but this makes Jesus the guarantor, the person who guarantees it. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, covenant's a word we're going to talk about in weeks to come. Covenant's a word that's going to be all throughout Hebrews as we make our way forward. You say, Greg, what is the better covenant thing? For now, just think of this. Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant. Old Testament, temple, animal sacrifice. New Testament, no more. We got Jesus. And Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is a much better priest. We have God's oath, and Jesus guarantees it. You say, what does that mean? We have God's oath, and Jesus guarantees it. Let me conclude, maybe just helping you think about it this way. Pretend you're Jewish, and you put your faith in Jesus. And all of your friends, neighbors, families are like, I don't even believe. You disrespect our family, you disrespect our heritage, and you're all excited about Jesus. I don't even believe you're doing this. And you're struggling. And you're wondering, God, is Jesus really? Like, is he really our high priest after the order of Melchizedek? And it's as if God the Father says, yes, you have my oath. I, the God of the universe, give you my oath. You believe in my Son, you will be with me forever. Judaism is wrong. Don't go back. And you're thinking, wow, that's awesome. Anything else? And it's as if the resurrected Jesus ascended into heaven. Remember, behind the veil, right now interceding for his own. It's as if he looks down and says, oh, by the way, if the oath of my Father is not enough, I personally guarantee it. Good? I personally guarantee it. You thinking about turning your back on me? You're thinking you need a priest other than me? You're thinking about going back to the Jewish thing? Now, we don't have Jewish priests anymore. The best illustration I could think of for us. You're thinking about doing the Roman Catholic thing? Don't do it. Never go back. You keep your eyes on me. And I promise you, when this world comes to an end, or your life in it comes to an end, you're going to be fine. Not only does my Father give you his oath, you have my personal guarantee. Praise God. That's Jesus. Question, and we close. Is he your priest? Are you trusting him for propitiation? And you don't have to know that word, but it's here. Jesus had to be made like his brethren, that's like people, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Why? To make propitiation for the sins of the people. Guys, you need a priest. If you think you can get to heaven without a priest, I will simply say you are wrong. No chance without a priest. But you need a priest who can pay the price of your sin. No Levitical priest could do that. No Catholic priest could, no Hindu priest can do that. But there's one who can do it. And he is after the order of Melchizedek. He is an eternal high priest. I hope your faith is in him. I hope you know Jesus. And if you are trusting in him, I just end with this. Don't go back. You got no place to go. Because no matter who you compare him with, Jesus is better. That's Hebrews. That's Jesus. According to the order of Melchizedek. That's exciting. You say, Greg, so like, do I now have to name my kid Melchizedek? No. But I think it would be nice. I think it's exciting. Either way, I hope this message has helped you to grow in your appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ as your high priest. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice this morning that we can go deeper into the meat of the word so that we can understand better what an awesome priest, eternal priest, we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you. Lord, we confess we are sinners. We confess we need a priest. Lord, I think many of us would say we never really understood why anybody would think animal sacrifice worked. But now we see we have a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and we're grateful. We praise you for him, and we pray that you'd help us to worship him. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.